Okay, well, God bless and welcome to Fellowship. And now I'm going to hand it over to Kim. And Kim is going to teach tonight. And so I just put the Skype and the telephone over near her and the recorder. So thanks for everyone for joining. And here we go, Kimmy.
Okay, well, God bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And last weekend, myself and Lawrence went out for the day. And we took a little trip to Minehead, which is an area on the west, hang on, east, we spell it we, so on the west coast, and it's a little seaside town, still very old. It's it hasn't updated to modern times, and it's a beautiful area, and it was a gorgeous day, sunny afternoon, and myself and Lawrence, we were sat in this little park, having our cream scones, and yeah, we did have two. Lots of fresh cream and jam, and they were delicious, and our cups of coffee. And I had a little book with me, and it's called Calling Things That Are Not by Charles Capps. And I'm sat there and I'm reading this little booklet, and I want to share a little bit with you tonight because it really blessed me. And because we've been sharing a lot on faith and trust, I thought it was quite a nice little neat little booklet. It's only small. I think, Lawrence, you got them on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get them online.
Yeah, you can get them online. So it's called Calling Things That Are Not by Charles Capps. Tiny little booklet, but very powerful. And some of the things that he shares is really relevant to...
Someone wants to mute their microphone.
Yeah, somebody mute their microphone, please.
Kim, Hailey, is it? Yes, you flash up there.
I don't know. Okay, anyway. So, here we go. And it starts off, the first part is by his wife, Annette. And it's, or was it his daughter, actually?
His daughter, that's right.
It's been my privilege to watch the transformation that took place in my dad's life after the Holy Spirit revealed the principle of calling things. One summer day, I was summoned to the kitchen, where the table was piled with notes and mortgages, debts owed to the bank. Dad said, "I want you to be a witness that I am going to do what Jesus said to do." He pointed his finger at the papers and said, "Notes and debts, listen to me. I am talking to you. Jesus said you would obey me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you, I say to you, be paid in full. Dematerialize. Depart, be gone. In Jesus' name, you will obey me." Then he just walked off. I stood there thinking, I guess he just left to let those notes absorb his words. Those papers certainly looked like a mountain of debt to me, but I really didn't doubt because I didn't expect that they had any chance but to obey the name of Jesus. Next, we drove to the property that was security for the debt. Dad rolled down the window and shouted, "Listen to me, I'm talking to you. Someone is impressed with you, and you will be a blessing to someone. I call you house, sold in Jesus' name." And then we drove off. I later learned from him that when the property didn't sell right away, and doubt began to enter his mind, he drove back to the property again, rolled down the window and said, "Ha, ha, ha," laughing at them and releasing faith that no matter what it looked like, the property was sold. He called things that were not as though they were, calling the property sold and the debts paid until it was manifest. Over the next few months, the property sold and all those notes and debts on the kitchen table were paid in full. Sure enough, the debt was gone. There is no other subject that is more important to the body of Christ today than the Bible, the principle of calling things that are not. Yet it is a subject that is very controversial in some religious circles and grossly misunderstood by many. I admonish you to approach this subject with a desire to know and understand God's methods. They may seem strange to you because of your religious background, but don't make a decision for or against the subject until you know what God said and did concerning this matter. This book is important to the rest of your life. Read it prayerfully. It is dedicated to your freedom and your success, both spiritually and financially. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 28. God has chosen this method. Some don't know this scripture is in the Bible, even though they have read it many times. God chose this method of using things that are not manifest, that you cannot see with the natural eye, to bring to naught the things that are manifest. Naught means zero. To bring to naught means to reduce to nothing the things that are manifest. This is a Bible principle, and God chose it. I didn't choose it until after God chose it. God could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose to do it this way. He chose to use things that are not manifest. He chose spiritual forces that you cannot see, feel, taste, smell, or hear to bring to naught the things that are manifest. He chose this method to reduce to naught those things that are not in agreement with the Word of God. If you have a problem and you can see it, then it's in the natural realm. As long as you can see it, you can use your faith and the Word of God to change it. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that was verse 13 and 17 to 18. The unseen realm is the powerful realm. The unseen realm is governed by God's eternal principle. Here is the principle that God has ordained. God used it all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. It's the principle that Jesus used in all of his ministry. It's the principle of calling things that are not as though they were. We find Paul's account of God doing this in Romans 4 and in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which he not as though they were. God calls the things that are not manifest as though they were manifest. Compare this with what the Apostle Paul said. God has chosen the things which are not to bring naught or zero things that are. This is God's method. Call the eternal forces that put to naught things that are seen. Call into manifestation the things that are not, and they will replace what is manifest. Paul said that we should overcome evil with good. When we start talking about calling things that are not as though they were, some people get the idea you are denying that what exists. Some believe that confessing the answer is denying the things that exist, but confessing the answer is not denying. It is the principle of calling things that are not as though they were, And like I shared last week, being diagnosed with the cancer, and the doctor saying that it was terminal cancer and giving me 3 months to live, that was in the realm of the senses. But then God woke Lawrence up out of his sleep, and God told him I was ill, but not unto death. Now that is the spiritual realm. Yes, I was ill. See, we weren't denying that I had cancer, but yes, I was ill. But in contrast to being ill, I wasn't going to die. So we have a choice when it comes to this, to either to believe God or to believe the world or to believe the adversary. And obviously we believe God because here we are, 18 years later, and not one sign of cancer. So we can cover this in all aspects of our lives, whether it's to do with health or finances. But he goes on to say there is a great difference between calling things that are not as though they were and calling things that are as though they are not. God's method is to call things that are not. In other words, he calls them into manifestation. By doing that, he nullifies the problem that exists. See, we don't want to dwell on the problem. We don't want to deny it either. So we need to find out what God's word says in that situation and make sure we're saying what God says, not what the five senses says. If the problem exists, you don't deny, that the problem exists. So if you're sick, you don't deny that you're sick. But on the other hand, you don't want to always be confessing you're sick either. Some who misunderstood this message think if they are sick, they should say, I'm not sick. Just denying you are sick won't make you well. In fact, that could be a lie. But there is a difference between a lie and a confession. Confession is a method of calling things that are not as though they were. If I'm sick, I will confess. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am delivered from the authority of darkness. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am calling my body well and healthy in Jesus' name. See, I'm not denying the sickness, but I'm denying its right to exist in my body. I am calling for health and healing in my body. That is God's method. There are those who will say, you are just trying to act like God. And I appreciate that. I usually say, thank you very much. I would rather act like God than act like the devil. If I'm acting like God, saying what God said about me, then those who are saying what the devil said are acting like the devil. Yeehaw! If you are always quoting what the devil said, then you're agreeing with the devil. The devil will tell you, Lawrence, you're sick and you're going to die. You're never going to get any better. Well, it may look that way on the surface, but we don't quote the devil, for he is a liar. Even when there is no hope, like in my situation, don't confess no hope, but go to God's word and get some hope. When there was no hope, Abraham believed in hope. He took God's word for his hope. He began to say what God said about him. I am the father of many nations. God forced him into it by changing his name. He had to say, my name is Abraham. And Abraham meant father of many nations. Just like Lawrence was saying about Jabez a minute ago. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That was the word of God concerning Abraham. You are the father of nations. But he wasn't the father of nations at that time. But God said he was. What was God doing? He was calling for it. God taught Abraham to say what he said by changing his name from Abram to Abraham. God also spoke to Zacharias, but the reaction was not the same. And it's in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 13, 18 and 20. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Allow me to paraphrase this. God sent an angel to Zacharias to tell him that his prayers were answered, and his wife was going to have a child, Zacharias. How do I know you're telling the truth? You'll have to give me a sign. The angel replied, I'll give you a sign, all right. You won't be able to speak until the day it comes to pass. Notice how God dealt with these two individuals, Abraham and Zacharias. Here was a man who was walking in doubt concerning what God said to him. So God seemed to say, if we don't get his mouth shut, this will never happen. So the angel stopped Zacharias from talking for 9 months. So that he couldn't put a negative in there, God had his mouth shut for a whole 9 months until it came to pass. But God renamed Abraham so he would have to say what God said about him. Remember that God chose this method of calling things that are not as though they were, but there are some who misunderstand and deny what exists. For instance, some might say, I'm going to deny that I have emphysema, which is a breathing condition, and continue to confess that they don't have emphysema. If they could get rid of it by denying it, then they might still die with cancer. So that's not the answer. God's method is to call the thing that is not as though it were. That does not mean to deny what exists. You don't call things that are as though they are not. God's method is to call things that are not manifest as though they were. If you're going to apply God's principles concerning sickness, you would say, Thank God, the Bible says that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I am confessing these things and saying them in the name of Jesus. It is causing faith to come, and I am calling my body well. Body, are you listening to me? I'm telling you that you are well in the name of Jesus. Then someone may say, I know that you are just lying because you are hurting. I may be hurting, but I'm calling for the thing that is not yet manifest. How can you say your body is well when you're sick? That's all the more reason that you should say it. You are calling for the thing that you don't have. You are calling it into manifestation. There would be no need to call for something that already exists. I am not trying to convince you that I am not sick or that I am not hurting. If I were, I would be lying. There is a difference between lying and a confession. Or calling things that are not, if I try to convince you that I already have something that I don't literally have, then it's a lie. But if you hear me saying, Thank God my body is well. I am healed, I am delivered, I am free from sickness, I am free from disease, and I am calling my body well. You just heard me calling things that are not. I did not lie to you. I wasn't talking to you. I didn't say it for your benefit. I said it for mine. I would rather that you had not heard me, because you are likely to misunderstand me. I am calling for the things that are not manifest until they are manifest. Someone might say, thank God I'm going to confess that I don't have any debts, when in fact, they owe everybody in the county. There are many people who are hung up on the scripture in Romans 13:8, which says, owe no man anything but to love one another. They say, glory to God, that's what I'm going to do. I am going to owe no man anything. If they get behind in their bills, they won't borrow money to meet their obligations. They lose their credit and get kicked out of their apartment. This is not a very good testimony. They are confessing, my God meets my needs according to his riches in glory. And the other people are wondering, who is this God who can't meet his needs? You can't be debt-free and owe everybody at the same time. You have to start where you are. What I am saying is that you cannot operate in that until you get out of debt. Don't get into bondage over the scripture. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 15:6, thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. If it were wrong to borrow money, it would be wrong to lend money, for they wouldn't have borrowed if there had not been someone to lend. If God has told you not to borrow money, then it would be wrong for you to do it. But don't get into bondage over that one verse of scripture. Quite frankly, this scripture in Romans 13:8 is talking about paying your taxes. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honour to whom honour. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That was the Romans in 13:6-8. In other words, if someone is worthy of honour, give it to them. Give tribute, custom, don't withhold it. In other words, pay your income tax. But what if someone said, I don't have any debts. Glory to God, I don't have any debts. I'm confessing that every bill is paid. I don't have any debts, when in fact they owe. They are denying what exists. They are calling things that are as though they are not. This is not God's method. God's method is to call the thing that is not manifest. We need to bring it into manifestation. Even if they could eliminate the debt by denying its existence, they might starve to death. Most people who starve to death don't owe anybody anything, so just being out of debt is not the answer. What is the answer? God's method is to call the thing that is not manifest. The thing that is not manifest in that individual's life is an abundant supply. So that person should go to the Word, find the promise of abundant supply, then be obedient to what the Word said to do to activate that promise. Then they should proclaim, I have given, and it is given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because I'm a giver, because I operate on the principles of the Word of God, I sow bountifully and I reap bountifully. My God has made all grace abound towards me. I am saying in the name of Jesus that I have abundance, and all the good deals come my way like they did for Nancy. I am blessed going in and coming out. I'm blessed in the basket and in the store. And by the end of the year, I will have an abundance to meet my obligations and give $10,000 to my minister. If someone heard you confess in abundance, they might say, I know you are lying because I happen to know that you don't have the money for your car payment. That's all the more reason for saying it. You are calling the thing that is not yet manifest. It may take weeks, months, or years to bring the total fulfillment of the promise. but then you will be able to pay your debts, buy your groceries, and give to missions. Let's say it another way. There is a backlash in denying what exists. A man says, I found the car I want to buy. If I sell my car, I will have enough money to buy this car. But he misunderstood the faith message, so he begins to deny that he has a car. He says, I believe I have sold my car, so I am going to deny that I have a car. So he starts saying, I don't have a car. I really don't have a car. Somebody asks him about his car. He says, I don't have a car. He may wake up some morning and find that someone has stolen his car because he confessed he didn't have one. And he really now doesn't have a car. So that's not the answer. There is a backlash in denying things that exist. This is not faith. Neither is it God's method. God's method would be to say something like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a buyer for my car. Send someone to buy this car. You know, someone really wants this car. This car will fill the need in someone's life, and they want it as badly as I want to sell it. Send them to me, Father. Have the angels guide them here. I thank you, Father. I believe that I have received a buyer for this car. Thank you, Father, that my car is sold. Then go out and talk to your car. Say, car, I am calling you sold. Someone loves your paint job. They are impressed with you. They love your interior. They love your alloyed wheels. By faith, I call you sold in Jesus' name. And if you remember last week when I was talking about faith, I said about getting detailed. You know, when we were looking for our house, I got detailed on every aspect to do with the doors that led out to the garden, to it being up in a cul-de-sac, you know, so that the kids could play safe. I wanted the front door in the middle of the house. And so basically, you just get real detailed on what you want. How do you know that you're not lying? Because you are calling things that are not. Although the car is still in your possession, you are taking the spiritual force of faith and calling it into manifestation. The thing that will nullify what exists. When you call health into your body, it nullifies the sickness. It nullifies the disease. Call abundance to your finances, and it will nullify your lack. It will nullify the thing that exists. There is probably no other principle in the Bible that will cause you to be criticized more than this one. But yet it is God's method. There are so many Christians who simply don't understand the principle. And it made me think, you know, like, we do get criticized being Christians. Let's turn to Hebrews. I want to share a bit from the word as well now. So we're going to look at Hebrews, and we went there last week. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that just clarifies the way that we're to call those things which are not. We can't see it. So we're not denying that it's not there, but God has a method on the way that you bring this to you. So it's a thing called faith. F-A-I-T-H. And we also know from the Word of God that if you have just the faith of a mustard seed, God can bring it to pass. So, when we went, I skipped through Hebrews last week, and we were saying by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so. And in verse 7 it says, by faith Noah. Now I'm sure Noah was criticized night and day for how he was preparing that ark. If you think there was no rain, no great rain at all. And yet you know, in this day and time, if we were to start building an ark, we would be criticised and we would be called probably nutty Christians. Look at that silly man building that boat. It's taken over 25 gardens and 3 fields. What does he think he's doing? But see, it's not what we think we're doing. God knows what he's doing. That's the important part. So when we read the word and we get an understanding what God's promise is, then we claim that promise. We're not lying. We're not denying that we got a problem, whether it be our finances, whether it be our health, whether we're selling our house or selling our car. We're not denying the problem, but we're looking for God's method. In verse 6, the one above, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Do you have a problem believing that God is? Because if you do, you better check back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. "But, and that he," God, "is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And that word "diligently seek," you know, we got to crave or demand or seek after carefully. You know, God's word is precious and God is precious. So we seek after him carefully. We make sure that we're bang on when we're calling those things which aren't as though they were. Faith can move mountains, but it's getting that faith in line with what God's word is saying. And then it comes to pass, just like with Noah, just like with Abraham, just like with Sarah and the many others, which are all actually written through in Hebrews 11. And again, I'm sure that all of them were criticized by their neighbors, by their family, by their friends, because, you know, we stand on the word of God, we're bound to get criticized. People will say, "Oh, you know, God doesn't work," or "God's not real." But we need to be able to have strong faith to show the unbelief that God really exists. And the only way we can do that is through our lives. We're to be the example. If we go back a book to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read from verse 8. Above when he said, chapter 10, verse 22. I'll get there in the end. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." And that's the strongest key. You know, when we do have debts and when we do have sickness, you know, the adversary likes to attack and it makes us waver. But God's promises are real and they will come to pass. Just don't waver. For he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. And verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You know, getting together on a Skype fellowship like this, we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. And it's good that we can provoke one another unto love and good works, so that no one's better than anyone else. You know, we're all equal in God's eyes. And just because I've been sharing over the last couple of weeks, it don't make me some biblical scholar. You know, I read the word and I let God work within me. And I really do believe to speak the words of God, to bless people, to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, it's the good news. It's the gospel that we speak out. It's there to bless and to encourage and to build your faith. Let's turn to James, the book of James. And in chapter 2, and in verse 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Oh, depart in peace, be you warmed up and filled,'" in other words, don't go hungry, Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? If it's within the power of thine hand, just like Daniel was sharing earlier. Brendan was sharing earlier, you know, if it's within the power of your hand to do it, then do it. If God shows you something that somebody has a lack or a need, and you've got the ability to meet that lack or need, then do it. Don't just give them words and wish them well and, oh, don't go hungry because I'm going home to my big T-bone steak tonight and my mushrooms, chips and salad. No. You know, believe God. Okay, God, I'm going to help this person and I thank you that you bless me back. And God will bless you back. Verse 16, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, it's dead being alone. If you've got it within the power of your hand to do it, then you do it. Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 10. And in verse 8, we'll start in verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, we have to preach faith. Because people in this day and time, especially in the world in which we live in, there's so much negativity and evil doings. That we step out in that faith and we do the good works. We preach the gospel, which is the good news. And people, you know, they are destitute right now. The world is waxing worse and worse. And it's only when we speak the word of God that it brings light. It dispels darkness in people's lives. And it gives people a hope that there's something better out there. You know, yeah, you may get criticized. Yeah, people may laugh at you. But, you know, we're no standing joke, guys. We're very powerful people. So when people are pointing the finger at us, they're pointing three back at themselves. And, you know, we stand boldly in the day of judgment. And we know that the time will come when Jesus Christ returns. And we need to get that word out there and reach as many people as we can in the short space of time that we got. Because no man knows the time or the hour. So leading on to that, we can read verse 9 that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believed it in our hearts and we confessed it with our mouth and we got born again. Why can't you do the same thing with the faith? Coming down to your healing, coming down to your finances, coming down to getting the deliverance that you need in whatever area. Same thing, selling your house, selling your car, selling your computer, I don't know, selling your barbecue or your garden furniture, whatever aspect you can. Just as simply as it got you born again, it is just as simple to sell the objects or the items that you need to. Without a shadow of doubt, without wavering, God can bring it to pass. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You'll never ever be ashamed when you stand on the word of God. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Your God is rich, mega, mega, mega rich, and he can meet all needs. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? This is when we need to get out there and let people know about him. How can they call on him if they don't know about him? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Don't give that excuse, well, God didn't send me. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. You want God to meet your needs? Then you meet God's needs by getting out there and preaching and teaching. And it says here that your feet will be beautiful when you preach the gospel of peace. And it will bring glad tidings of good things. And we all want good things. And I want to finish off in Romans chapter 1. And in verse 8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I want to go back up to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And we did that tonight when people shared their testimonies. Those testimonies went throughout the whole world because obviously Lawrence records it. It goes on the blog. And we have people as far as Syria, Russia, China, you know, they all hear those wonderful testimonies. They're shedding abroad. So let's get together. Let's pray for one another. So that our faith becomes great. And our testimonies get shouted out throughout the whole world. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And that's really fantastic. And, you know, there's one thing that Kim mentioned. I also mentioned in my teaching that I just put up is that Romans 10, 9 and 10. We have no problem believing that we're saved, we're born again, we're filled with Holy Spirit, and we believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth. And every other promise of God is received in the exact same way, guys. That simple. God has made it so simple for us, but we can overcomplicate it with our knowledge, with our own wisdom. But God, you know, has given us all things to richly enjoy, and it's received by faith, and we release our faith not just by acting but also by confessing. So thank you for joining us. We love you and God bless you.